I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception. For me to impose that judgment on everyone else is inappropriate in a pluralistic society.
I can do my part doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline and pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Barack Obama was a community organizer like Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
The God that Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris reject is not the God of the seeker-sensitive, user-friendly theological model. That God doesn't worry them at all.
He was only 39 years old, June 27, 1844, in Carthage, Illinois. In a jail there, both Hiram and Joseph Smith were killed suddenly. They'd been running afoul of the law for some time and on the run from various state authorities. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or as they were known back in those days, the Mormon Church, they say he's a martyr. At least the Mormons do. Is this true? And how important is it that Joseph Smith be maintained as a martyr in the eyes of Mormonism? I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, September the 17th. Our call-in number and our email address for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. After a conversation on the martyrdom or the alleged martyrdom of Joseph Smith, Eric Johnson will be our guest. Pastor Todd Peppercorn will join us. We'll talk about depression. Then Jennifer Roback Morse in the second hour of the program. We're going to talk a little bit about the National Organization for Women's Endorsement yesterday of Senator Barack Obama, get her response to some statements made by NOW's President Kim Gandy. And then Bridget Gabriel's going to be our guest. We're going to talk about radical Islam. She's written a number of books about terrorism and Islam. Her latest is called They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. That's coming up in the last part of Issues Etc. today. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Eric Johnson is our guest. He teaches high school and college in Southern California, co-author of the book Mormonism 101, and he's written an article in a recent Christian Research Journal edition titled The Martyrdom of Joseph Smith, Like a Lamb Led to the Slaughter. Eric, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
How important is it for Mormons that Joseph Smith be viewed as a religious martyr?
Well, as you mentioned, I work in a school, in a high school, and if you come talk to my history department, they're going to tell you they think history is pretty important because, as it's been said, that people who don't know their history are bound to make a lot of errors. And I'm going to agree. I think history does matter. I think there's a lot of what I call Orwellian Mormonism within Mormonism itself, because Joseph Smith is idolized, and everything about this religion centers on whether or not he was truthful, if he was the kind of person that he's made out to be in Mormonism, as being a young, naive boy who prayed a simple prayer in James 1:5, has God the Father and Jesus appeared to him. He's given these ancient pages of a book called the Book of Mormon. Later, he translates that and talks about Jesus appearing in the Americas. And so as you go through the whole history, if there's holes found in the story, then I think we need to understand that that there's a problem here. And in 2005, there was a bicentennial of Smith's birth. And the reason why I wrote this article is it's basically kind of sickening. He was born December 23rd, 1805, and so right up to the time of Christmas, of course. And when you heard what was going on in 2005, how they glorified pretty much in this man. And in fact, if you talk to a lot of Mormons and ex-Mormons alike, they'll tell you that Joseph Smith and his story is probably told more than Jesus Christ himself, which is really kind of sad. So when they glorify him in such a way, and in the July 2008 Ensign magazine, their official church publication, they have 4 pages of articles that show pictures from the Museum of Church History. And they don't show anything, though, that would be against Joseph Smith being accurate, being basically the most important man in their whole religion. They don't show anything about the history of how Joseph Smith used a pistol to kill a couple of men in his final gun battle, and just those kinds of things. So I think it's a long answer to your question. It's a good question. I think that history does matter.
How did Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram end up in that Carthage jail on that day in 1844?
And that's another good question. And for those of you in the Midwest, may know the story more than we do here on the West Coast. But Joseph Smith had a revelation given to him by God, as recorded in Doctrine and Covenants, one of their scriptures, basically saying that that polygamy was a good thing. And so he endorsed polygamy. Now, what he didn't say was that he had been practicing polygamy since 1835. He married his first plural wife, Fanny Alger, in that time. And then over the next years, he ended up marrying a total of 33 other women besides his first wife, Emma. And Emma wasn't very happy with it, to the point where she even was so complaining about it that Joseph Smith had a revelation from God telling Emma from God that if you don't listen to what Brother Joseph says, then you're going to be basically damned. And so 33 wives that he had, 11, one-third of them were teenagers, as young as 14. Two of them were 14, actually, Fanny Alger included. 10 were married to other men. So 21 of his 33 wives were not just he was taking them on just for the sake they couldn't find husbands, but they were young, they hadn't had a chance yet, or they were married to other men. Well, there was a newspaper in Nauvoo called the Nauvoo Expositor that wanted to expose Joseph Smith. And so this newspaper came out, and its only edition came out in June of 1844, and Joseph Smith was so enraged with this. He was the mayor of Nauvoo. He ordered his militia, he had a militia at that time, to go and basically destroy the printing press, and they did. And in America, as well as England, I mean, the press and the First Amendment is a very important thing for us. And so that really ticked off. That was a final straw for a lot of people. He ended up running away for a few days, and he decided to come back, was arrested and put into the Carthage jail. And they called them anti-Mormons, people who were just so fed up with Joseph Smith and his antics over the past few years and this revelation and the rest, that they decided to storm the jail cell. And there was, like I mentioned earlier, a gun battle. They ended up shooting Hiram and Joseph to death and wounding John Taylor. Joseph Smith fell out of the window there and was dead, and actually made him into a martyr for Mormons. In their eyes, he became a martyr. I think it was the worst thing they could have done, because it basically continued this movement, which was pretty much dying, because Joseph Smith was self-destructing this movement himself.
So had the followers of Joseph Smith and those loyal to him not decided to interpret his death as a martyrdom, in some cases they compare it even to the sufferings and death of Christ. Yeah. Had they not decided to do this, do you think Mormonism would exist today the way it does?
Oh, that's a good question, too. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that would be the case, but they have definitely raised him up to a place where you can't talk bad about Joseph Smith to a Mormon, and they get really upset with it. And when you explain the gun, well, a lot of Mormons don't know that he actually shot back, which I say that's not a problem. But as I point out in this article, that's so different than when you look at the real martyrs of the New Testament. You look at people like John the Baptist or Stephen or James or even Jesus himself. I mean, when he came up the day before he dies, he says, "I'm being led like a lamb to the slaughter," quoting the prophet Isaiah. When he comes up with that, saying that that is being fulfilled in him, when we as Christians believe that it is through Jesus that the lamb led to the slaughter, to us it's really blasphemous to even compare Joseph Smith in such a way. So Joseph Smith himself kind of started the whole thing by saying he kind of knew, I think, the writing on the wall that there was going to be problems. And I don't know if he knew it was going to lead to his death, but I think he knew by turning himself in eventually that there was going to be a possibility he may not live anymore.
Is it official, in some sense, officially taught by the Mormon Church that Joseph Smith is, in fact, a martyr?
Yes, they many different. I mean, it's not in a standard work. So, if you're looking for something in Doctrine and Covenants or something like that, you're not going to find anything that would say officially there. But he is definitely considered to be a martyr in the sense that if you talk to any Mormon on the street and you mention the killing that happened in Carthage, and they would explain that. And it was made very clear in 2005 when they were celebrating. They had the whole stage to themselves on December 23rd, and they had a big ceremony, and it was very clear that Joseph Smith was being called a martyr.
You have several very simple logical steps by which you attempt to argue that it is incorrect to refer to Joseph Smith's death as a martyrdom. Take us through those, if you would.
Okay, well, In any kind of a deductive reasoning, you're going to use a syllogism. A syllogism is basically a steps that you need to have, and if you can find any of those steps to be wrong, then it would break down your conclusion. My first premise that I list in this article is a martyr is someone who, at the risk or cost of his own life, willingly dies for his faith. And that's important because he's willing to die, he does it, and he does it willingly. Okay. The second premise, then, is I am claiming that Joseph Smith did not die willingly. Or, there's two parts to this, two subpoints. A, he would not have attempted to call in the Nauvoo Legion, which was his army, and he attempted to get a note through, and we're still not sure, historians are still debating, how come the note did not get back to the Nauvoo Legion? He was calling, this is about 30 miles away from the Carthage jail, Nauvoo, where he lived, and he was hoping that his army would come and maybe take him out of the situation. The note never did arrive. And so, but he did. We know for a fact, and that's admitted by Mormon scholars and historians, that he did attempt to call on the Nauvoo Legion. And B, second subpoint would be he would not have shot at his attackers. I mean, if you're going to go like a lamb to the slaughter, Jesus had the ability, it says in Scripture, to have called down 1,000 angels if he wanted. And here, Joseph Smith, I don't have a problem with him using a gun in defense. He had smuggled a pistol in, actually, and three of the five shots went off and you know, shot two men dead, it John Taylor later said.
Well, let's take a break right here, and when we come back, I'll let you finish your point about whether it was self-defense or what with Joseph Smith, and then the rest of your premise and your conclusion about whether or not Joseph Smith is in fact rightly regarded as a martyr. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. We'll be right back. Eric Johnson is our guest.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jennifer Grimm, Michael Kaiser, Matthew Mortensen, John George, Mark Loader, Carol Stearns, Pastor Stephen Gillette, Gail Ledstrom, Rachel Drosendahl, John Pletz, and Don Sontag. Thanks for your support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click Promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday Bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. IssuesETC.org.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor John Pless, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Indeed, it is a treasury of Scripture, Catechism, prayers, hymnody, and devotional readings cast within the calendar of the Christian year to assist the believer to pray without ceasing.
A Christ-centered, cross-focused family devotional from Concordia Publishing House, Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Eric Johnson is our guest, co-author of the book Mormonism 101. He's authored an article in a recent edition of the Christian Research Journal titled Martyrdom of Joseph Smith, Like a Lamb Led to the Slaughter. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Eric, you were right in the middle of a point. You said you really have no problem with Smith's use of a pistol in self-defense, but he cannot say he was dying willingly thereby. Finish your point, if you will.
Exactly, Todd. You got it. You hit the nail on the head there. Let me go back on the premise one. The person who's a martyr willingly dies for his faith. Number two, he did not die willingly. That's a key point right there. He did not die willingly like a lamb led to the slaughter. So my third premise is Joseph Smith did not die for his faith, but rather for, A, his imposition of non-biblical practices upon his people, requiring them to do things that I think a lot of people, in fact, a lot of people had left the church because of they were getting fed up with his new ideas that he was coming up with, including the polygamy issue, especially that, and B, his illegal destruction of a newspaper printing press. I think a lot of people were ticked off that he used his power to do that. He was going to run for president and everything that year and had a power trip there and thought he should be able to destroy a printing press that wasn't his. And so my conclusion is he was not a martyr for his faith, because I think words have meanings. And when we say the word martyr, we can call anyone we want a martyr. We can call Muslim suicide bombers martyrs if we like, or David Koresh, do we believe that he's a martyr because he died for what he believed in? We would say no. I would not call Joseph Smith a martyr because there's no comparison between the way that Smith died as we would talk about the martyrs, the Christian martyrs who have died over the centuries. There's somebody dying today. There are people dying today throughout the world who really are dying because of their faith. And so it's not a cheap word to me. It's an expensive word, and I don't like to just throw it out. And I think it's unfair for Mormons. You can say what you want about Joseph Smith, but to call him a martyr I don't think is accurate.
I'm curious about the significance that Mormons attach to his death. I know that they would not go so far as to say that it was in any way a redemptive death, but they do make certain connections that you write about between the death of Joseph Smith and the death of Jesus Christ. What are they?
Well, I mean, just the idea that yeah, there's just a number of ways that they would compare Joseph Smith in the ways that we would just say that would be a blasphemous statement. I mean, without Joseph Smith, I had one Mormon telling me, without Joseph Smith, I don't have any faith. And I said, you're telling me that if Joseph had never come, you would be nothing. He goes, I couldn't be a Christian, that this man is so important. And I said, well, I thought your church was the Church of Jesus Christ, not the Church of Joseph Smith of Latter-day Saints. And he even admitted, and this is kind of behind the scenes, he admitted that that without Joseph Smith, there is no true Christianity today, because they believe that true Christianity died out after the days of the apostles, and it needed somebody to bring this religion back. And so Joseph Smith happened to be the one that was chosen in the early 1800s, and in 1830 he starts a church with six people. And so I believe there are a lot of Mormons out there who are more in love with Joseph Smith than they are with Jesus Christ. And this is what I hear from so many ex-Mormons who would say, you know, when we were in the church, we just didn't learn that much about Jesus. We talked it, because it's like trying to pass a counterfeit $30 bill. I tell my students, you're not going to accept that. They're going to try to make this look as Christian as possible. So they'll enlarge the Jesus Christ letters on their name badges, and they'll say that we're Christians too, but there's nowhere close to being what true Christianity is, because Mormonism denies or distorts every fundamental teaching of the historic Christian church, and it all started with Joseph Smith.
Finally, then, with about a minute and a half,
yeah,
compare, if you would, some of the martyrs of Scripture with the alleged martyrdom of Joseph Smith.
Well, I mean, I mentioned some of these guys earlier, but I mean, you have John the Baptist who had a charge against him and gets beheaded, and he couldn't have avoided it. He doesn't have any possibility. But Jesus did. Jesus would be somebody who we would call a martyr, because he went to his death willingly and forgives his enemies. Instead of trying to kill them, he actually forgives them. Stephen, I mean, he's praying this prayer, and he says, Lord Jesus, you know, receive my spirit. Lord, lay not this charge to this sin to their charge. He's basically asking for forgiveness for his enemies, just like Jesus did. And we don't know much about James. I mean, there's other martyrs as well, but I mean, we see that all but probably one apostle actually died martyrs' deaths. And so when you go through each of these four cases I have here, I just don't see how Joseph Smith's case anywhere compares to it.
Eric Johnson teaches high school and college in Southern California. He's co-author of the book Mormonism 101. He's written an article in a recent edition of the Christian Research Journal titled The Martyrdom of Joseph Smith, Like a Lamb Led to the Slaughter. Eric, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. That was a pleasure.